an. If I'd known that the week was going to end in such disaster, I might not have bothered with it. I might just have stayed in bed and slept like some sort of hibernating bear for the rest of the winter. Not that it started terribly well either. It was Tuesday, the 2nd of January, the most depressing day of the year, when everyone trudges back to work feeling depressed, overweight, and broke. It also just happened to be my birthday, my 30th birthday, so I was gloomier than anyone else that morning. Not only had I turned a decade older overnight, but I was still single, living with Joe, a gay oboist, in a damp flat in Shepherd's Bush, and starting to think that those terrifying Daily Mail articles about dwindling fertility levels were aimed directly at me. I cycled from my flat to the posh magazine offices in Notting Hill, trying not to be sick. The hangover was entirely my own fault. I'd stayed up late the night before drinking red wine on the sofa with Joe. Dry January could get stuffed. Joe had called it an early birthday celebration. I'd called it a wake for my youth. Either way, we'd made our way through three bottles of wine from the corner shop underneath our flat, and I'd woken up feeling like my brain had been replaced with jelly. Wobbling along Notting Hill Gate, I locked my bike beside the posh office, then dipped into Pret to order. One white Americano, one egg and bacon breakfast baguette, and one berry muffin. According to Pret's nutritional page, bookmarked on my work computer, this came to 950 calories. But as I hadn't actually eaten anything with Joe the night before, I decided the calories could get stuffed too. "Morning, Enid," I said over my computer screen, putting the Pret bag on my desk. Enid was the PA to Peregrine Monmouth, the editor for Posh magazine, and a woman as wide as she was tall. She was loved in the office on the basis that she put through everyone's expenses and approved holidays. "Polly, my angel, happy birthday!" She waddled around the desk and enveloped me in a hug. "And happy new year," she said, crushing my face to her gigantic bosom. Her breath smelled of coffee. "Happy new year," I mumbled into Enid's cardigan, before pulling back and standing up straight again, putting a hand to my forehead as it throbbed. I needed some painkillers. "Did you have a nice break?" she asked. I replied vaguely, leaning to turn on my computer. What was my password again? "Were you with your mum then?" Enid returned to her desk and started rustling in a bag beside it. It was some variation of my mum's dog's name and a number. Bertie123? It didn't work. Shit. I'd have to call that woman in IT whose name I could never remember. "And did you get any nice presents?" Bertie19, that was it. Bingo. Emails started spilling into my inbox and disappearing off the screen. I watched as the counter spiralled up to 632. They were mostly press releases about diets, I observed, scrolling through them. Sugar-free, gluten-free, dairy-free, fat-free. Something new designed by a Californian doctor called the Raisin Diet, on which you were only allowed to eat 30 raisins a day. "Sorry, Enid," I said, shaking my head and reaching for my baguette. "I'm concentrating. Any nice presents? Oh, you know, some books from Mum. How was your Christmas?" "Lovely, thanks. Just me and Dave and the kids at home. And Dave's mum, who's losing her marbles a bit, but we managed. I overdid it on the Baileys, though, so I'm on a new diet I read about." "Oh, yeah? It's called the Raisin Diet. It's supposed to be ever so good. You eat 10 raisins for breakfast, 10 raisins for lunch, and 10 raisins for supper. And they say you can lose a stone in a week." I watched over my computer screen as Enid counted out raisins from a little Tupperware box. "Morning all, happy new year and all that nonsense. Meeting in my office in 15 minutes, please," boomed Peregrine's voice as he swept through the door in a navy overcoat and trilby. Peregrine was a 55-year-old social climber who launched Posh in the 90s in an attempt to mix with the sort of people he thought should be his friends. Dukes, earls, lords, the odd Ukrainian oligarch. He applied the same principle to his wives. First, an Italian jewellery heiress. Second, the daughter of a Venezuelan oil baron. He was currently married to a French Dickensect who was, as Peregrine told anyone he ever met, a distant relation to the Monaco royals. "Where is everyone?" he said, reappearing from his office, coat and hat now removed. I looked around at the empty desks. "Not sure. It's just me and Enid so far." "Well, I want a meeting with you and Lala as soon as she's in. I've got a major story we need to get going with." "Sure. What is it?" "Top secret. Just us three in the meeting. Need to know basis," he said, glancing at Enid. "You're right," he added. Enid was poking the inside of her mouth with a finger. "Just got a bit of raisin."